Happy Easter, everybody. Fun D and Daniel fact. I died once, then came back 3 days later in a new improved form. Big Naturals D and Daniel. With thanks to our patrons, especially Scribbles and Carlo.
Hello, welcome to the Probably Bad Podcast, a podcast which is definitely bad. I'm still Pencil.
I'm Paper. And today's Probably Bad RPG idea is... A knight can knight a commoner. This new knight can then knight another commoner. This leads to a logical setting idea. Knight apocalypse.
I love the idea that, like, you can knight someone non-consensually. Like, you just sneak up on them and hit them with your sword, they're now bound to serve the King of England.
And I think we did do something to that effect when we played Knights of the Occasional Table.
Yeah.
But like, also, I like this as a way of enforcing laws. Like, the code of chivalry is just all of the laws of the land.
Yeah, I mean...
So you just go around inflicting the laws on people.
I think we've invented cops. But, like... Yeah, because it's going to be... So presumably what it is the knights are, like, trying to knight everyone.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, they're still bound by the laws of chivalry, so it's like... They're not like zombies in the... You know, you don't have to shoot them in the head. But you do have to, like... You can. Like, they're wearing armor. But what you need to do is, like, find a way to... Like, you've got your post-apocalyptic base, and around it, it's just got, like... A ring of maidens, so they can't fight their way past.
Okay, so the campaign within this setting is taking down the knights.
Yeah. Like, you know, there's just too many knights. Everyone's a knight now. And
you have that moment that you have in zombie films where someone dramatically reveals a bite, except they, like, take off their shirt and there's just a little indent on their shoulder from the sword.
I like to hear, like, someone comes back and they're speaking, like, this really upper-class British accent, and they're trying to insist everything's fine, but they are now holding a sword and talking like the queen king.
I mean, there is still a queen.
There is, yeah. What ho, good fellows! There was no problems with the scavenging for civvy. What the fuck was that last word I said? I don't think that was a knight word. Yeah.
Well, this is fantasy knights. They say things like forcibly.
Yeah.
I like the idea that the sword is an appendage. Like, you grow it when you become a knight.
Yeah. Like, that's how you know the knighting worked.
So it's not just hiding the indent on your shoulder, it's hiding the fact that you now have a sword permanently,
like,
attached
to you. I'm imagining, like, that once you're knighted, like, you start growing armor and a sword, and, like, the guy is trying to hide the fact that he's got a breastplate, like, permanently now. So he has to wear a shirt over it.
Just find a puffer jacket to put on. It's like, yeah. No, it was just really cold, you guys. Terry. Terry, is that a feather under your hat? No? Takes it off, he's got a full plume.
I like, there's some kind of really weird idea of someone just slowly growing armor. Yeah, like, because you could either do it as, like, you know, there's some legitimate body horror in there, or you're just slowly getting fancier.
As in, like, becoming more upper class?
Yeah, if you're more upper class, you're wearing armor, and you keep punching poor people in the face.
I think that contradicts the chivalry part of it, unfortunately.
You're punching poor people in the face, but, like, as part of a quest.
Okay, you come up with elaborate justifications for punching poor people.
Yeah, you know, codes of chivalry.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I feel like... I like the implication that knights aren't, like, people in armor. They're their own separate species.
Yeah, they just have a natural shell, like a tortoise.
Yeah, if you take the armor off, then underneath they're full of gold. Because, like, so what I sort of how I was sort of interpreting this setting,
mm-hmm,
is knights were, like, either selectively bred or magically created by the upper class as, like, warriors.
I mean, knights being selectively bred is, like, half true, so let's go with that one.
Yeah, but like, they lost the ability to reproduce naturally, so instead they can only reproduce by knighting people. But obviously that causes, like, the knight pandemic.
So the knighthood is like a parasite.
Yeah. Again, this is getting very close to social commentary.
Yeah. I do love the idea of breeding knights, though. Like, this is Francois. He's a seventh generation chevalier.
I like the idea. Okay,
are there mutt knights?
Yeah, so I think what it is you got, like, the traditional knights, and they're, like, the equivalent of, like, you know, German shepherds, they're the big ones. But you do get, like, smaller tracking knights, and you get, like, teacup knights, which are just there as pets and companions.
Little guy!
Yeah. You know.
But then you have, like, the equivalent of, like, village dogs, and say there's a hedge knight.
Yeah.
Like, this is Terry, we found him in a bush, I think he wants to save a woman. I don't know why Terry is the name of this knight.
It's just a knight. I know it's not that knight, a knight's name, but, you know, it is a hedge knight, so maybe it makes sense. It doesn't have a traditional fancy knight name.
If it was a purebred, he'd be called Terence.
Yeah. Like, you know, it's like, yeah, they're not purebreds, but they're just as strong and much cheaper. Mm-hmm. There's knights, like, knight shows where you get a award for who has the best knight.
You have to do that in very controlled conditions so they don't try and knight the judges.
Yeah. Ultimately, if they knight the judges, that's one way of getting victory.
Oh, that's why they had to write into the rules that judges can't vote for themselves. It's against the code of chivalry now.
I like that the code of chivalry is designed to prevent these near feral knights from rampaging through the city.
I mean, like,
again, what, not historically inaccurate.
Yeah, like, what codes there are do seem to mostly come down to don't attack defenseless people. Don't do that. Don't. You know, like, stop. The Geneva Conventions.
Yeah, like take that out your mouth.
That stop being it. That peasant's only food.
Yeah. Like, I just love this setting of, like, knights are just this weird half feral species. You know, people get a baby knight because it's cute, but then it grows up and, you know, it's a lot to look after, so they just release it into the wild. And
that's
now
where hedge knights come from. Instead of flushing them down the toilet, you leave them in a bush.
Yeah, and now there's just packs of feral knights beating up random people who look vaguely like warlocks.
I like it.
Yeah, and, you know, eventually this reaches the point...
It's like an Adventure Time episode.
Yeah, eventually this reaches the point they've started knighting everyone. And so we all obviously have to just, like, deal with that. Like, I'd like to imagine they open and close their, like, helmet. Is there a proper term for the front of the helmet? Helmet plate. They just open and close it to, like, mouths.
They get you.
Yeah.
They bite you with the helmet.
Yeah. You're just walking down the woods and there's the sound of clanking behind you. You turn around, there's a dozen knights with their face plates opening and closing, running at you.
It does sound legitimately terrifying.
Yeah.
Also highly confusing.
Yeah, like, you know, a werewolf jumps you, that's one thing, but, like, Sir Lancelot jumps you in an alleyway and starts trying to bite your face off, like... What are you meant to do in that situation?
I like to imagine in this instance, Sir Lancelot is like, you know how you get those cats that are just basically landmarks and everyone knows them and no one knows who they belong to?
Yeah.
That's what Sir Lancelot is.
Yes.
He just hangs around town and, like, makes more knights and no one really knows whose he was to begin with, but now he's just kind of everyone's.
Yeah, the round table is this particularly big feral knight colony that no one's quite, like, willing to go in and get rid of, so they're just sort of left there to wander around.
Mm-hmm.
Do knights eat?
Like, they must do.
Yeah, but, like, yeah, what...
You've established that it's not, like, an undead thing.
No, but, yeah, like, what do they eat?
I think they go through the bins.
Hmm.
Like raccoons.
Yeah. Like, you know, they're meant to be fed on, like, all these upper class meals, but most of them are feral now, so they just go through the bins.
There's a vague ancestral memory of roast goose, so they particularly enjoy chicken shops.
Like they're just hunting down your geese. Geese versus knights is like the next stage of this campaign.
That's the second arc.
Yeah.
After the survival horror arc where everyone tries and fails to not become knights.
Yeah. I like survival horror, except if you get caught, you don't die, you have to serve the British royalty.
Same thing.
I guess the other question is, like, is the knight apocalypse...
The British royalty, lots of countries had knights, and some of them had some interesting clothes.
Yeah, presumably these are, like, different breeds in different, like, regions.
Mm-hmm.
I guess the important question, is the monarchy, like, intentionally behind the apocalypse, or are they just,
I think they were the ones that ran the initial breeding program. So they are behind it, but not intentionally. It's kind of a Rise of the Planet of the Apes situation.
Okay. That makes sense. Rise of the Planet of the Knights.
Yeah.
How intelligent are knights in this scenario?
I think they have exactly the same intelligence as a feral cat.
Hmm. They instinctively know how to sword fight, but otherwise they are as intelligent as a feral cat.
I think this has to be an actual game that we play at some point, I'll be honest.
Yeah. Like, yeah, this is going to be at least one of the homebrew games, just the knights are here.
The name of the game.
Hmm. The Never-Ending Night.
Oh.
Night Falls. See, that's your advantage.
There's a lot of things. Puns.
Yeah, they're really useful for, like, punny game names.
So before we get into game development, we have some questions.
Yeah, so now we've created the perfect game.
Mm-hmm. Last time on Tales of Morterra.
Arson!
With cat-like tread upon a prey we steal.
So she was going to try and surf on the horse.
Get dead? You want to kill me?
I'm a wizard. I've always got plans.
Tales of Morterra, an actual play podcast. Available wherever you're listening to this right now.
Our first question is anonymous. What's the probably worst instrument for a bard?
Pipe organ.
Pipe organ kazoo.
Pipe organ kazoo combo?
Yeah. It's like a pipe organ, except all of the pipes are replaced with kazoos.
Okay, see, I was picturing it like kind of a giant melodica.
You could use both.
Although I feel like the problem with pipe organ is it's bad in the way of not practical, because you can't really carry it around.
Yeah, so I think the pipe organ is bad in the sense of the practical way. And a kazoo is bad in the sense of the unenjoyable way. So the pipe organ kazoo is the perfect combination, in that the bard can't use it, and also the bard shouldn't use it.
I'm just thinking about other things that you can use to perform. Because it doesn't necessarily have to be like a musical instrument.
Yeah, like a cat.
The pig piano.
Yeah, that is pretty bad, but hear me out. The night piano.
Is this made of teacup knights, presumably? So you can carry it around.
Yeah, you've just got a big box full of knights, and you take them out, and you push buttons, and it just jabs them with sticks. And it probably doesn't work, because they are wearing armor, but...
Oh, it finds a way in.
It's like metaphoric... Like, what other instruments are there? There's, like, some guy.
I mean... I was in one campaign where the bard's instrument was mime.
That is pretty bad.
They were like inspirational mimes.
Stand-up comedy.
Oh, God.
So what's the deal with airline food? Everything around you bursts into flames.
I did have an idea for a bard whose thing was just making tortured puns.
Yeah. I feel like Okay, I think what you need is a bard, is an entire campaign of bards, all of whom have comedy performance, and all of whom have a different comedy performance. Like, one of them does puns, one of them does memes, one of them does stand-up comedy.
One of them's a prop comic, just carries around a bag of holding full of random items.
One of them is, like, improv comedy. I feel like most villains would surrender immediately as soon as they heard you were coming.
I love the improv one.
Mm.
Like, I'm being killed by a dragon. Yes, and I believe in you.
I want to hear a weakness of the big bad.
I heard lightning damage.
I like the idea of this
and intimacy.
Firstly, I love the idea of the big bad's one weakness is intimacy. I can only be
psychic damage.
I can only be defeated if someone expresses genuine compassion towards me in a way that implies that I might be worthy of respect. And secondly, like, I also like divination, but it works like an improv routine. Because that weirdly does fit in well with how how divination works.
I mean, it definitely fits in well with how most people respond when you use a divination spell.
Yeah, like, you know, the cosmos just tells you something. You're like, well, I guess I'm going with this now. Always remember to yes and God. That sounds like one of those really weird trying to be down with the kids youth preachers.
Except is also out of date by about 40 years.
Yeah. You know whose memes are really dank?
You know who's poggers.
Youth past the sermons is another bard instrument they could use.
Yeah. I'm also just thinking, because obviously we said about pipe organ, because it would be really impractical to carry around. My other thought on that, like in that vein, glass harmonica.
Entire orchestra. Like,
so the bard would be the conductor in this situation?
Yeah, and everyone else is in a bag of holding.
You just hold it just open enough that they can get some air.
Yeah. Okay, so if we have the glass harmonica, pig organ, orchestra, and pipe organ bards, it does require the big bad be within 20 feet of them. But
which makes it great for a one-shot. You don't have to get to where the enemy is first.
Okay, I was thinking, like, this is a great one-shot in that there's the plot, but you have no way of taking part in it, so instead you just sit in this room lamenting your life choices.
Everyone roll performance. You did it!
Yeah, I guess any campaign's a one-shot if you prevent anyone taking part in a plot strongly enough.
Yeah. Cool, we've established that.
Yeah. So the worst instrument, I think, is youth past the stand-up comic playing the pig organ.
Yes.
Our second question is also anonymous. If you had to add a new World of Darkness playbook, what would it be? Girl Scouts.
Okay, first question is what would the subtitle be? And second question is why are Girl Scouts secret?
So it'd be Girl Scout the Badgering. And Girl Scouts are, like, secret in the sense that people are told that, like, there is just an organization for little girls to, like, you know, go sell cookies and stuff. It is, in fact, an entirely separate supernatural species. They're just disguised as, like, the Girl Scout organization. And because, you know, the problem with, like, most masquerades is it's relatively, is, you know, at some point someone's going to live stream a vampire. Mm-hmm. And they've got around it by being like,
we've been over this.
Yeah, you know, publicly they know we exist. They just don't know that we grow from trees and eat dogs.
And cookies, the way that they, because a lot of things from World of Darkness, they want to bring people into their dominion. Is there something in the cookies?
Yeah, so it's like, okay, so with werewolves, like, So it's not that a werewolf bite in World of Darkness turns you into a werewolf, it's that if you've already got werewolf blood, it causes that werewolf blood to become active. And it's the same thing here. Like, for most people, if you eat a Girl Scout cookie, nothing will happen. But if you have, like, Girl Scout ancestry, it will trigger the transformation. You will turn into, you will, like, grow like a cocoon. This will hatch, you will come out as a Girl Scout, and you'll join the local troop.
Sorry, I was just enjoying the phrase, come out as a Girl Scout.
Yeah. You know, that's the...
Father, there's something I need to tell you.
That's the really weird, poorly handled metaphor that this World of Darkness campaign is based around, because all of them have to have one. And I think the monster that Girl Scouts have to fight are, like, door-to-door vacuum salesmen. And if you haven't seen any of those in a while, now you know why. The Girl Scouts have been winning.
Well, good.
I think my second one would be, like, giants or something, where it's like, yeah, you are 300 feet tall, the masquerade is still in place, try and avoid anyone noticing.
See, I know that we've talked about giants as a World of Darkness playbook a couple of times.
Yeah, it's just, you know, it should be one. You can breathe fireballs.
And it's kind of related to the Girl Scout one.
Okay.
Brownies.
Yeah.
But not as in the organization. That's their disguise.
As in, like, the...
Like, actual mythological...
Yeah, the helpful household fae.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like that, you're just going around helping people.
But you gotta do it secretly.
Yeah. Otherwise... it wouldn't be secret.
Yeah, they've kind of forgotten why it's a secret, but at this point it's part of the oath that they have to take.
So, like, this is my theory for why masquerade's still in place in these settings, is it's like everyone assumes something awful must happen if you revealed a supernatural, because, like, otherwise someone would have revealed the supernatural by this point.
Mm-hmm.
The universe is just bluffing. Like, it'd be fine. Everyone's like, I mean, if you know, obviously you could get struck by lightning or something, or people would realize. Yeah, I like brownies because it's going to be, like, really low stakes compared to the other one.
See, like, oh no! The thing about World of Darkness is it's too high stakes and edgy.
Yeah.
Brownie... This is more like World of Vague Dimness.
Yeah, brownie, the house cleaning.
Brownie, the choring.
The gifting. Santa, the slaying. I think Santa would work. And you've just got...
The slaying!
Yeah. And people are like, ah, I'm here to say this. No, you ride in a little sleigh and you give people presents. You know, you've got... Okay, so you've got the traditional Santa. Mm-hmm. The cola Santa. You've probably got the Krampus Santa.
So these are the different types. Like, you have the different kinds of vampire.
Yeah, so yeah, you've got sort of the folkloric one, the sort of mainstream cola one.
Straight up St. Nicholas.
Yeah, the Christian one, yeah. And there needs to be a fifth one, because there's always five of them. Just like Mole Santa.
The guy.
Yeah.
I know how we got into this situation.
And, yeah. And, you know, you get, if you have too much Christmas spirit, then when you turn 18, the Santas come along and recruit you into the Christmas army.
That's why they tell kids at a certain point that Santa isn't real. So they'll lose that Christmas spirit and not become a Santa.
That's why Santa has the masquerade, because if everyone knew Santa existed, then they would have to make everyone in the world into Santa.
I hate that this makes a kind of sense.
And, like, you know, what would the antagonist of a Santa be?
Grinch.
Ah, yeah, Grinches and Scrooges.
Yeah.
Scrooges being, like, their own separate species. Like, if they go too far and someone is in, like, extreme negative Christmas spirit when they turn 18, then they become a Scrooge. I don't really know what that entails, but they're a jerk now.
Their only weakness is ghosts. Really judgmental ghosts.
And, I mean, to be fair, it is the World of Darkness. We have to find those relatively easily.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the crossover section of this game. Is you cross over with, I believe it's Sin Eaters are the ghost ones. And you have to get them to find the most judgmental ghost they can to, like, destroy the Scrooges. And Grinches you defeat by making their heart grow 5 sizes, which is one of the Santa powers you have. Mm. Like, you know, there's also, like, I guess, Easter bunnies and Valentine's Cupids and stuff from the other holidays.
Yeah, but then we're starting to get into Rise of the Guardians territory.
I mean, yeah, you know, this is Rise of the Guardians, World of Darkness. It's exactly the same, except all the characters say fuck.
As they deserve.
Yeah.
For having been in that film.
Yeah, I mean, I guess that you could have boogeymen as, like, an antagonist for Santas, but I don't know, it feels a bit contrived. I guess they could be, like, their own playbook.
Yeah, like, they're not particularly well defined, but I feel like you could come up with something. Maybe not like a full one, but maybe a splat book.
Yeah. Yeah, I feel like, I guess it would be something like where it's like, oh, you have to describe your, not describe, yeah, you sort of have like a list of monster parts to choose from.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I feel that would work. Okay, this is actually a possibly good idea. So,
let's
sorry
call
about
it
that.
There.
But yeah, anyway, Santa the Slaying.
Excellent. So, if you have a question, you can message Probably Bad RPG Ideas on Tumblr or email probablybadpodcast@gmail.com. And if you want to support us, then you can go to patreon.com/probablybadrpgideas and get short RPGs, access to a Discord server where I think there's a one-shot happening soon.
There is a one-shot happening soon. Part-time God's one-shot.
And also homebrews and bonus episodes. So thank you for listening, and remember to have a probably bad day.